Get our latest resource for free for the month of April at indout.ca. Use promo code MD2024 while supplies last.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the In-Doubt Show. Welcome, welcome. Wow, wow, so much passion. I love it. I love it. I heard that. Thank you so much. Hey, welcome to the In-Doubt Show. We have a great episode today. I'm actually very, very excited. We have David Platt joining us. We're talking about all things missions. It's going to be a good conversation. First, want to remind you, if you can help us with prayer, but also we would love your support. Financially, you go to indout.ca, link is in the description, and you can become a partner, a monthly partner, become an InDoubt Insider. You get access to some cool things, you get 20% off the store, and we would really appreciate your monthly support. Or if you want to give a one-time gift, you can do that as well. We really appreciate that as we continue to bring life and truth to young adults, not only in Canada, but wherever God takes this broadcast. We really appreciate all that you do to keep us going. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Nice. We're talking about missions today. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Great conversation. You've heard on the cold open that we have a free resource for the month of April. So make sure you go to indout.ca. Again, link is in the description for that. And you can get yourself a free copy sent to your door. Also, subscribe, like, hit the notification bell to just keep in touch and be connected with us so that whenever we release stuff, you are aware of it. And that would be really great. We have a fantastic guest in third chair. And so, audio world, when you hear this music...
It's Ginny of the Land!
I'm loving the volume levels today, to be honest, Christopher. Well, you know him, you love him, the man, the myth, the leavened legend. Leavened? Leavened bread.
The
no, the...
I am fluffy.
Okay, the legend, man, with over 500 voices, probably close to 600, but he's humble. Marcus Miller in the house. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm fumbling through my words because of this fantastic coffee you gave me, but now I'm going a lot faster, and I really like the feeling. I don't drink coffee much, but I like the honey in it, though.
Yes. Do you like the honey?
This is getting a little bit creepy. Comment below. No, how are you feeling?
Okay. Over.
I love it. I love the creepiness. Winnie the Pooh just got really eerie.
Did you like that?
Wait, what did you put in this honey? Why am I feeling jittery?
Start seeing heffalumps and woozles.
I'm going to see heffalumps and woozles. But comment below. Do you guys love coffee? I mean, I'm just starting to enjoy coffee. It does affect me in the bowel region, which you don't even know.
Not so tiggerific.
It's not, but that's why I try to avoid it. But it does help with my energy when I'm feeling a little bit like Eeyore. It kind of makes
not
me feel
that
more.
It matters.
But it makes me feel more like Tigger, which I appreciate. But speaking of coffee and Tigger, how many cups do you have?
How many cups of coffee does it look like I have?
Okay. I don't know how to segue that into missions. I guess having energy to go door to door. No, we're not going door to door. What do we do?
People don't like it when you go.
Yeah, people hate that, actually,
as we have
learned from our viral video. But we have David Platt, and I'm very excited to unpack missions with him. It's going to be really, really great. And I think we should probably just go right to it.
Yeah.
Tigger, why don't you take us to the interview?
Let's cut to the interview.
All right, so we have David Platt with us. David, how are you doing, man?
Doing all right. Well in Christ.
Come on, man. I'm so honored that you are with us today, that you're taking time. You've been on InDoubt before, years ago with a previous host, and so we're just blessed to have you back. It's going to be a good conversation. But for those of us who are listening or who are watching, who don't know who you are, if they've just been living under a rock, tell those people... Just a little bit about what you're doing and what ministry life and family life looks like for you these days.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, Yeah, people not necessarily have been living under a rock.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm
a pastor of a church in Metro DC. So it's called McLean Bible Church. It's a beautiful multi-ethnic church. We've got over 100 different nations represented in the church.
Cool.
And so, so I'm a pastor there and also lead a ministry called Radical that is focused on getting the gospel, mobilizing the church on mission to get the gospel to billions of people who've never heard it before. And then I'm husband to Heather and dad for 6 kids from 17 years old down to a year. And so 2 years, almost 2 years. So our 6 kids, and that's a whole nother story. So 4 of our children, we have had the joy of adopting, and then 2 are biological. So, that's a little snapshot into my life and family and work.
Amazing, man. Life is full and beautiful. Praise God. That's so awesome, man. We really wanted to connect with you. You know, we're talking about missions today, and I thought, man, I'd love to connect with you about missions. And you're right. Obviously, if people haven't heard of you, you're not living under a rock. Don't feel judged. Don't feel shame. It was a silly joke. But in all seriousness, we're honored. And, you know, this topic on missions, you know, my previous church I was at, man, just the heartbeat was missions, and it was just so beautiful to see what God was doing around the world. And so maybe before we even dive in to all things missions, give us a little bit of a definition in your words. You know, what is missions? Because most people think, okay, it's going to a remote place on the other side of the planet. How would you define missions before we even start?
Yeah, well, I would definitely be nuanced in this way. Like, well, one, just like mission, like as followers of Jesus, like we are all commissioned, like we're called to mission. And that mission is to make disciples of all the nations, like that we want to spread the gospel, the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus among all the nations. And the word there in Matthew 28, verse 19 is ethne, among all the ethnic groups of the world. So it's not just talking about nations like we might think of countries today, 200 or so United Nations. It's talking about ethnic groups in the world. I mean, we know in places, I mean, I think probably most everybody where you live, there are all kinds of different ethnicities represented. That's certainly the case in Metro Washington, D.C., like so many different ethnicities. And that's true in cities and countries around the world. And so some say there's over 11,000 distinct ethnic groups in the world. Some say over 16,000. But the point is, Jesus said, make my love known among all of them. And so where I would distinguish like missions is, okay, missions is referring to taking the gospel to ethnic groups where the gospel hasn't gone yet. So people groups that have not yet been reached with the gospel. It's not that they've heard about Jesus and rejected him. It's they've never even heard. I mean, they may have heard things about Jesus, like, or false things about Jesus. I think about in many Muslim areas or Hindu areas, there's knowledge of Jesus, but not the truth about who Jesus is as God in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. Nobody's ever told them that. And so missions is the enterprise of pressing into those places where the gospel hasn't gone. And all that's a part of this commission we've been given to make disciples of all the nations. So I guess the way I would kind of summarize all that is every follower of Jesus is called to play a part in making disciples of all the nations, which means that means every one of us has a part to play in missions, like praying for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all those people groups, giving toward that end, and going from right where we live to wherever God might lead. Like, this is the Christian life. We're all disciple makers for the nations. And the reason I emphasize that, man, I could talk a lot about this, so just stop me. But the reason I want to emphasize that is because I think many people kind of compartmentalize missions. Like, okay, that's a program in the church for a few people over there who are kind of called to that. Like, no. If you have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you, the Spirit of Jesus wants all the nations for Jesus. Like, you want all the nations for Jesus. You're living for this. You're praying toward that end. You're giving toward that end. You're living your life toward that end. That doesn't mean, though, that everybody's going to pack their bags and move to another part of the world. Yeah. So, but we're all disciple makers for all the nations. This is what it means to be a Christian. And I think there are billions of people and thousands of people groups that have still not been reached by the gospel because most Christians look at missions as a program for a few other people to be concerned about, as opposed to being the reason we're on the planet is to accomplish this mission. And it includes the spread of the gospel to all those people groups who haven't been reached yet.
I love that, man. I love the distinction between mission and missions. Like, we're on mission. So yeah, when you leave your house today and you're, you know, going to the mall or going to work or going to Starbucks or whatever, you're on mission. And there's a lot of people and ethnic groups, literally, like, same with you in DC, where we are here in Canada. There's multiple groups of people. Like, we don't have to look far to be on mission locally. And then missions is going and spreading the good news to all people.
Missions is that emphasis that says, okay, who's not been reached yet? Yeah. It's kind of like the biblical picture I would give is Romans chapter 15, when Paul says he's traveled to all these different cities and he's kind of recapped where he's been. And he says, there's no more work for me to do there. Mm. So now I'm pressing on. And just think about that statement, like, no more work for me to do. Like, that didn't mean everybody was a Christian in those areas, or that meant that the gospel had gone to those areas, churches had been planted in those areas, and there were still places, he's specifically talking about Spain in Romans 15, where they haven't heard the gospel, where there are no churches. So we as the church have to keep pressing on in some way, and including sending some people too, but supporting them and getting the gospel to people who are in Spain who've never heard. And so that's the missions is that enterprise. Yeah. We got to keep pressing on where it hasn't gone. And if we're not careful, we can actually end up ignoring those places. Like, it's interesting. You look at giving in North American Christians, like obviously we keep most of our money for ourselves. We give a small percentage of our money to churches or ministries. And then out of that money we give to churches or ministries, an even smaller percentage of that goes to, like, work around the world. What we often call missions, but what's interesting is you do the research and the data, out of that small percentage that we give to missions around the world, approximately 98 to 99% of it actually goes to places in the world where the gospel has already spread.
Hmm.
Like in Latin America, parts of Sub-Saharan Africa or Europe, or even parts of East Asia. Like, we give most of our money to missions overseas, but we're actually ignoring the places that are most unreached by the gospel overseas. So in the name of missions, we actually end up ignoring the people and places where the gospel hasn't gone. So that's, we need a, we talk about, this is a great imbalance. Like, we need a major shift in our understanding of mission in our lives and missions in the world in a way that says, okay, we've got to change that. We've got to get the gospel to people who've never heard it. So what's it going to look like to change that? And that's not just for a few people to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, that's for us all as followers of Christ to figure out.
Totally. And I mean, how can that change? How do we make sure that we're having impact and reaching places that haven't heard?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, all right, so here's some practical things. Like, how can it change, like, in each of us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, I'd encourage people listening to ask, like, how often are you praying for people groups who have yet to hear the gospel? Like, just start the most basic thing. You know, something you can do before you even get out of bed in the morning.
Mm.
And most people, our prayer lives are, I mean, they're usually pretty focused around what we see right in front of us. Like, at some point, we need to lift our eyes and pray.
Hmm.
I mean, Jesus told us this. Pray for the harvest field and laborers to go into the harvest field. So I recommend the Joshua Project app. I mean, it's one tool every day you can just pull up an unreached people group to pray for. That's a good use of 60 seconds in a day.
Yeah.
Amidst all the other things we scroll through on a phone. Like, just intercede for a moment for the Adarmi people today that I was praying for in India. It's like, I can't remember, 1.7 million of them, Hindu people group 0% followers of Jesus. Most of them have never heard the gospel. Like, just to intercede for them. So like, start there. That's, and don't underestimate that picture. And then I would say, like, okay, how can we change that? Just to ask, like, okay, of the resources God has given to you, like financially, how much is going to getting the gospel to people who've never heard it? Like, to, and there's about 3 billion, as best as we can tell, unreached people in the world who've not even heard the gospel. So out of all the reasons, I mean, God's given us, and I know different, you know, different ones of us have different amounts of financial resources, but we have relative wealth compared to the rest of the world. How are we spending that for the spread of the gospel in the world? Like, so where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Like, if our treasure is not focused there, and even the numbers I just used and reference, like, we're not so it's, we should be, shouldn't be surprised. Our heart is not with people who've never heard the gospel. So let that change through your giving. Like, look for opportunities to give toward that end, and you know, through your church, and broader than that, in the broader church. And then I, like, practically, I, that's where I would just encourage. I love what you mentioned earlier. I mean, wherever people are in Canada at this moment, the likelihood is there's a multiplicity of ethnicities around you. So share the gospel, not just with people who look like you. Like, share the God, like, God's brought the nations to us. It's amazing how God has brought people from, I mean, most Uber or Lyft rides I do in Metro DC are going to be with somebody from an unreached part of the world, from, from a country that has very little, if any, Christians at all. And God's given me an opportunity to share the gospel with this Afghan, with this Pakistani, or whoever it might be, right outside my front door. It's amazing. So make disciples of the nations right here. And then I would encourage, like, look for opportunities to go and do that in other places. Like, maximize, whether it's a short-term trip or jobs. Like, this is, why has God designed the globalization of today's marketplace? I would say he's done it for the spread of his glory among the nations. We have opportunities for work all around the world. I think about people in our church who are moving. Like, one family next month, they intentionally took a job in the Middle East when it opened up in their company, so that they can be a part of the spread of the gospel there. I think about a young adult. She graduated with her nursing degree. She, instead of looking for jobs where the gospel has gone, she looked for jobs where the gospel hasn't gone. And she is now serving in a hospital in this mega Muslim country in the Middle East. And she's become head of nursing in that hospital. She has a Bible study every week in her office with a bunch of Muslims, and nobody stops her because she's really good at nursing. And they're, so put that together, they're actually paying for her to spread the gospel in their country. Like, countries around the world will pay you to come spread the gospel there if we'll open our eyes and look at the opportunities God has made available to us. If we'll just see, like, the opportunities are there. I would just say, man, there are more opportunities. We have more opportunities today than ever before in history to spread the gospel in the world. You just think about what we were just talking about with jobs, travel, the fact that we can go anywhere in the world in approximately a day. Like, Paul never could have fathomed that. Like, how long did it take him from to travel from one city to the next? Like, he could air a machine who can pick you, they can pick you up and take you anywhere in the air in a day. Like, and then technology.
It's like, it's amazing. It's amazing. Sometimes I even wonder, like, how Paul would react. It's like, whoa, you went on a plane. Like, they gave you food on the plane.
That's right.
And you had any kind of leg room. Like, he would have been blown away, man. He would have been blown away.
Yes, totally. And then you think about how long did it take him to write a letter, send it off, weeks, get to reply back. Like, the thought of a device in your pocket that you can communicate with any, most people in the world in multiple languages in real time. Like, this is, we've been given so much. So let's steward it to the full.
Yeah, that's huge, man. I feel like oftentimes we complain about technology and this and that. And I remember even I was on a flight somewhere and was complaining about legroom. And then I thought of Paul, actually. I was reading my Bible on the plane. I'm like, who am I to think, oh, complaining about legroom? And I'm like in the air 30,000 feet and they're giving me pretzels. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm so blessed. But you're pointing on some awesome things because, okay, we have technology and oftentimes it distracts us and we use it for, you know, it just distracts us from the good news and spreading the gospel. When in actual fact, like you're saying, if we just change our perspective, we realize, oh my goodness, the tools we actually have, what they could actually do instead of us scrolling, you know, the death scroll one reel after a time, Joshua Project, or praying for this, or giving to this, or connecting with someone on the other side of the world. Like, it's huge. And I feel like we just got to shift the mentality of like, oh, what can we actually do instead of, oh no, technology is bad. Whoa, technology is powerful and amazing. We're talking in different parts of the world right now. Like, we couldn't have done this. And so that's a big thing that young people need to be aware of. Hey, the tools in your hands and literally in your pocket could change people's lives forever and spread the good news of Jesus. Another thing that's just like really, I'm really struck by is you're talking about this young adult nurse. Oftentimes a lot of people think, okay, I got to be on mission. I got to be trained to be a pastor to be on mission. And, you know, spreading the gospel has to be like in a church. But you're saying, hey, these people have gifts and talents and abilities and, you know, things that God has given them and hunger and desire and drive. But that's actually what they use to go on mission and be a missionary all over the world. So it's not that you have to have a theology degree or you have to be a pastor. This story of this young adult girl, that's amazing. Like, she's using what God gave her and now she's getting paid to run a Bible study.
Yes, that's the thing. And you think about it, actually the theology degree, it's not gonna be unhelpful, like hopefully it's helped you grow in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're gonna put that on your visa application into most of the countries we're talking about in the world. Like, that's you need a nursing degree, a medical degree, a teaching degree, an engineering degree, or engineering experience, whatever it might be. But that's where, man, I just think about, obviously, I don't know all the people who are listening to this right now, but the unique gifts and grace and vocations and skills and experiences and education that God has given, he's given it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And this is where I love what you said, like a mindset shift. That's, I'm convinced, wholeheartedly convinced, that is what is needed in the church today. We've bought into, I'm going to say, world system. And even in Christianity, oftentimes, that says, okay, I have a job, I have a degree, I have a job so I can make money, so I can be successful, so I can, and do it with Jesus in it. Like, and the way I talk about it here is like a comfortable Christian spin on the American dream and make your way to heaven. It's like, no, you're created for so much more than that.
Yeah.
Like, we've been left on this planet with a mission to make the best news in the world that will change people's lives for trillions of years and beyond, make it known among all the peoples of the world. And we've got so many opportunities to do it. This is Christianity. It's like going after those opportunities. And that's where, so it would only be a few people. It was just, okay, you got to leave your job in order to go. But if we're talking about leveraging jobs, that's tens of thousands of people and hundreds of thousands, I would argue, in the church who can now be unleashed to go to the nations with the gospel. Like, we can get the gospel to all these people who have never heard it. If we'll like look at this is what Christianity is actually about, like making disciples of all the nations, what Jesus told us to do, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, the opportunities are there if we'll take them.
And I feel like I wonder, I mean, obviously we can't answer this question, but it's like, if we all just like suited up, took this seriously, change of heart, change of perspective, lived on mission, I feel like it wouldn't take us long to spread to everybody, man. Like, I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's like, if we were like, hey, let's be intentional and let's be focused, let's do this, I feel like we could just get it done.
Bro, it's there for us to do. Like, yes, like no question. Like, you think about, I just think about where Bible translation is right now, like because of technology and all the kinds of different things that factor into Bible translation, like it's really possible for in the next 10, I don't know the exact years.
Me neither, but I feel like it wouldn't be long.
But it's going to happen. Bible translated in all these different languages. Now, just because it's translated into a language doesn't mean that it's been delivered to those people who speak those languages and shared in person with them. So, but like you're saying, like if we all suited up, like if we as followers of Jesus, like, no, this is actually what we're here for. Like, yes, this is totally doable. May it be so. Like that's,
man,
pray it would be so.
Yeah.
But we got to realize we can't like keep going Christian business as usual and that be the case. Like it's gotta we've got to have a total change of mindset.
And,
hey, this is actually what we're here on the planet for.
And I feel like, I mean, it's hard to say and it's hard to hear, but I feel like many Christians, you know, myself included, we just become quite selfish and just me focused. How would you encourage a young person who's watching, and even encourage my own soul, to get better at this? How do I become less of me and more of mission?
Man, so good. I love that. Well, I think repentance is definitely a starting point. I'm thinking about my own life too. So we're together in this. Yes, Lord, we need you to, I mean, think about repentance. We need you to change our mind. We need you to change our hearts. We need you to, so we are prone to, in all these ways, seek our good and our plans over your glory and your plans. We are prone to watch out for ourselves instead of care about others' eternal destinies. Like we're like Jonah. Just like, I mean, I want the plan over my head more than I want all these people that I'm looking at to be saved. Like, so to repent. I want a comfortable life in my nation more than I want the spread of the gospel among all the nations. Like, I mean, to repent of that, individually, corporately, and then to, and in a sense, daily, die to ourselves daily. Yeah. And then to begin to cultivate the kind of heart that, well, it's God's heart for the nations, and to see it, once we start to see it, like we'll see it all over the word, like from cover to cover in God's word, this is clear. His passion for his own glory among the nations, for his grace, his love for all the nations, his desire for them to all be reached. And then I would say too, like if we're not careful, we can start to, okay, big picture, like we can do this, which yes. And so start right here. Okay, right in my life right now. You mentioned the people I'm going to interact with at Starbucks today, people at my workplace now, the people in my life outside my doorstep, in my apartment, or whatever. Like, okay, God, give me boldness to share the gospel right here, to be a disciple maker right here. The reality is, it's not like we're going to go take a job in Afghanistan and suddenly become a disciple maker on the plane on the way over there. Like we got to be disciple makers of the nations right where we live. Like, let's do this right where we live, and then be open to wherever God might lead us.
Yeah, it's so good, man. We had a guy come over to our house, and he was helping us with some paint work, and he's a Sikh brother, and such a good guy, always smiling, so happy, and he doesn't speak English, but I had a friend from church have a little like gospel track in his language. And what's been so amazing to me is this, my brother at church, who just told me, he's like, oh, silly, that guy thinks he's coming just to paint your house. Like, that's funny. And I just love that he said that. And I just thought, oh, all these people that are coming to do work in the house, or that's so funny. They think they're just coming for that. But that's not the only purpose they're there. And so we got the track, we gave it to him, explained it. He said, I promise I'll read it. And just having that perspective shift, like you said, right here. Yeah. I didn't even have to go out of my door. It was someone who just came in to the pizza guy who comes. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. He thinks he's just delivering pizza. That's hilarious.
I love that, man.
And so just changing the perspective of, hey, we're on mission right now. Your neighbor, the person dropping off the newspaper, whatever it is, they're coming to your door. Like, they're coming to you. Mm. Like, we don't have to even go out.
I love that, man. Yes, like God has this whole thing rigged.
Yeah.
And he's not one detail of our lives. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Is accident.
Yeah.
And so to see that.
We just have to be aware of that and have the boldness and the confidence to just love and share the good news. And if someone rejects it, I remember we did an interview with Matt Smethurst earlier this year, and we were just talking about, you know, we're just like, he just referred it to like the mailman. We're just delivering the mail. We don't open the mail. We don't tamper the message. It's a federal offense. We just literally, and if they hate it and they get angry, it's not you. It's just, I'm just delivering the message as I'm called to do. So being on mission happens immediately. Like where you're listening to this or watching this right now, the person beside you on the bus, whatever it is, you're on mission right now.
So good. So, and you just think about like the meaning and purpose that infuses, bro, into our lives on a moment by moment basis to realize, okay, wait a minute. Like my day is not just normal, natural today. Like I've got one, this a supernatural. I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me.
Yeah.
Like the Spirit of God is dwelling in me, leading me, and he's orchestrating all these details of people that I'm interacting with. And none of it wasted. Like, so how can I make the most of this day? And like, it just, wow. Why would you settle for any other dream than this? And that I'm making the greatest news in the world known to people, that I'm delivering not just mail, right? Yeah. I'm delivering something that like could affect this person's life for the next 10 trillion years. Yeah. Like that's amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. What would you say to someone like a young person who's listening? And I mean, obviously we don't do missions for ourselves. We want to reach out, but it does have an impact on your heart. What happens to a soul when they change this perspective and God rewires their mind and their heart to live outwardly? What happens internally?
You start to experience life as you were intended to live it. Hmm. Like you and I were not made to live self-centered lives. And this goes totally against the grain of everything this world tells us, like, right? This world tells us like you'll be glad in getting more and more and more. And God's like, no, I've actually made you to be glad in giving. Like you're going to experience joy in giving. And you're made to be glad. Like your deepest joy is going to be like when everything's going perfect for you in your life and you get it all worked out. And the Lord says, like, I've made you to find joy even when everything in the world has fallen apart around you. Mm. Like there's a contentment and a joy and a strength and a peace that is supernatural, that's so far beyond this world. And so similarly, as we think about mission, then, I mean, I even think about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the way it's structured. Therefore, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always at the end of the age. Hmm. That promise at the end is accompanied. It's like it comes right on the heels of this obedience to this commission to make disciples of all the nations, which means like as we make disciples of all the nations, we will experience the presence of Christ and his everything that goes with his presence in depth, in the process of, if we're not making disciples of all nations, we're not experiencing the fullness of his presence with us the way we're designed to. Wow. And so like we're missing out on life if we are, and we'll see that. We'll experience that. There's no question. You go and, I mean, one example would be when you go to another part of the world, like I don't spend time hiking through, mountains in the Himalayas, sharing the gospel with people who've never heard it before and think, well, this is a drag. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it sometimes challenging? Some of those hikes? Well, yeah, but introducing somebody else to the name and the truth of Jesus for the very first time, like, this is awesome. This is amazing. Wow. That I get to be a part of this. And so, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example, but like when you just envision for a minute leading a coworker, a friend to eternal life in Jesus.
That's like, amazing. It's amazing.
Whoa, yeah. That's life.
Yeah.
Not just for them. That's life for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're missing out on life if we're not making disciples of all the nations.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I feel like my spirit gets like just ignited again, just like a fan into flame when I watch a person, a friend, like you said, or a coworker, I had a buddy come to the Lord recently that I've known for many, many, many years, and just recently got saved. And it's just like, man, I'm on fire again. Just watching this guy just hunger and thirst. Like, it is just so dang exciting. It's like, what else really matters? I'm realizing over and over again what else actually matters. Like, like
it
you
just
said,
lifts
it's like,
your eyes,
man.
Yeah, good.
It's so good, man.
What matters forever?
Exactly, and that should matter most. You know, okay. So for someone who's listening right now, and maybe they don't feel a sense right now to be called to go to another country, I still feel like they can experience the fullness if they give or if they pray. Can you walk through that? Because it's not just, oh man, only people who leave this country get to experience the fullness. But I feel like there's pray, give, go. There's other ways too, right?
Yeah, fullness is found in faithfulness. Like that's the key. Like I think even just biblically, think Acts 13, the church in Antioch sends out Paul and Barnabas to go spread the gospel where it hasn't gone. Not everybody left Antioch. Like they were a part though of sending them out. They were part of being encouraged when they came back. God didn't call. The Spirit set apart Saul and Barnabas for that. So the Spirit didn't call every single person to go in that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you look back in Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of Stephen, it's like all these disciples, and it wasn't every Christian, but many were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So they're going. So it's just, what's the Spirit leading you to do?
Yeah.
And so the Spirit will lead some of us to stay in places where the gospel has gone. I mean, I live in a place where the gospel is accessible. I live in Metro DC. There's a ton of people who need Jesus, but there are gospel preaching churches and gospel sharing Christians all over this city where I live. So, but God's called me to be here at this time and place. Yeah. So now to come back, like practically then, yes, as long as God calls us to be in a place where there is access to the gospel, then, do all the things we've just talked about. Like press in prayer individually with each other. Like I think about even from the time our kids were really young and we were young married and kids, like teaching them, like I want them to grow up with a Christianity that like revolves around the spread of the gospel among the nations. So we're praying for the nations. I mean, when we have family worship, even now with our youngest kids or with all our kids, but I think about our younger kids, I mean, we look at an unreached people group on that app, we pray for them.
Amazing.
And so don't underestimate what God's doing in response to your praying. And then yes, be intentional. That's, you're not accidentally gonna pray for the nations.
Yeah.
You're not accidentally going to give to the nations. You're not accidentally going to be a disciple maker among the nations and look for opportunities to go even short term among the nations. Like that's going to have to happen intentionally in your life.
Yeah.
And I would just even follow up like, yes, this is life. And at the same time, don't be surprised. The more you give your life to making disciples of all the nations, the harder it will get for you in this world.
Yeah.
Like it'll be life, but there's an adversary who doesn't want disciples to be made among all the nations and doesn't want you to experience the kind of life God has intended you to experience. And so he will come after you in all kinds of ways. I do think there's a sense in which the adversary, like Satan, is fine in a sense with us living nice, comfortable Christian lives while we ignore billions of people who've never even heard the gospel. But you start going to those kind of places or just living with that kind of focus, even right where you live, just know there's spiritual warfare that's waiting for you at a whole nother level as you step into that. But again, that's where now it makes sense. Okay, I need Jesus with me. I need his presence, the fullness of his presence to fight that kind of just a whole nother level of spiritual battle for the sake of people around me and people around the world that I'm pressing in and living for.
It's a good reminder. I feel like a lot of people who become Christians or, you know, newly Christians, they think, oh, I'll give my life to Jesus and life will be, you know, rosy and perfect and beautiful. But no, when we're on mission, it's intense. And the battle we face is not against flesh and blood. It's a real battle that's going on that we don't see. And so it's a good reminder to our listeners, like, hey, not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because of the Great Commission, again, I am with you to the end of the age. So it's like, we have, you know, him on our side. And so we don't have to be afraid of these battles. And maybe that's why he even like includes it in the end of that. It's like, hey, but don't worry, I am with you. So I'll go before you. Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, even in Acts 1, when he tells them, okay, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Okay, well, Jerusalem, they just killed Jesus in Jerusalem. Like, they don't want to, that doesn't sound like really appealing to go back in Jerusalem. Judea and Samaria, like, they hate the Jewish people. So, and actually, prejudices that you have, you kind of hate them too. So start with people who just killed me, then go to people who hate you and you kind of hate them, and then keep going to the ends of the earth, places you don't even know. And then he says that, and then just like that, he ascends into heaven, and they're left like, what do we do? And no wonder he said, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You cannot do this on your own.
Yeah.
But with my power in you, like, yes, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So, we'll need him all the more.
Yeah.
His power, his grace, his strength, and we'll experience him all the more.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it. None of us, it's not like, okay, let's kind of pull our resources together and we can do this. Yes, let's steward the resources God's given us, but in the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yes, we need that. Without that, we have no strength. I always compare ourselves and our story, our situation to Paul. So again, like with the plane, he'd be like, what the heck, man? You guys got planes. They're giving you pretzels and cookies and like drinks. Like, that's unbelievable. You can recline your chair. You can watch a movie. Like, that's insane, man. Like, come on. And then I also wonder, like, you know, in 2 Corinthians, he just kind of lists all the things he's going through, all the afflictions and all the hardship. Mm-hmm. And then he says, these are all just some of the light afflictions. After this massive list of all the things, stoning, whips, it's just some of the light afflictions. And here we are where someone just, you know, calls me a bigot and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And you look at his list of his light afflictions, but he's filled with the Spirit. He's like on a mission, man. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, those afflictions are light and it's so worth it for him. And so when we think of our own lives, we think of, oh no, what if someone says something about me, or what if I get, you know, persecution, and, you know, look at his life and his journey and how worth it is and how powerful he is because of the Spirit in him.
So good, man. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that it does come back continually, doesn't it? To the phrase you used earlier, we've mentioned it multiple times, like a mindset shift.
Yeah.
Like, we need Romans 12. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're so prone for our minds to be conformed to the pattern of this world.
Yep.
And we need his word, his Spirit, to totally transform our minds.
It's amazing, man. And so I really appreciate your time, man. This has just been so encouraging. And I'm excited to, when I leave this studio... Man, I remember seeing a church. I used to lead worship and tour all over the world playing music. And that was kind of my thing I did for 15 years before this position here at InDoubt. But I remember playing at a church. I can't remember where it was, but they had a big banner over the doors when you're leaving saying you're now entering your mission field. Mm-hmm. And I just always love that. It's like as soon as you go out, you go to church, you get fed, you get filled, you sharpen each other. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to go out those doors. And so I feel like after this conversation, I'm just hearing in my head, all right, man, you're now entering your mission field. Like, get out there, be on mission, be intentional.
Yes, man. And I just think about that. Obviously, I don't know everybody who's listening to this right now, but I do know for all those who have the Spirit of Jesus in you, like, you have supernatural power for this mission. Mm. Like, let this totally transform your mindset.
Yeah.
Going into today, into tomorrow, and live out this with this meaning and this purpose, with this power in you. That's the Christian life.
It's amazing, man. Praise God. I'm so grateful for your time. We haven't done this with a guest before, but I'm wondering, could you pray for all the people who are watching and listening, man, and just pray a word of encouragement? That'd be amazing, man. Thank you.
Yes. God, I pray Acts 1:8 over everybody who's listening to this right now who knows you, Jesus. And if there's anybody listening to this right now who doesn't know you, Jesus, I pray that they would know even right now how much you loved them, so much you sent Jesus to die on a cross for their sins. And I pray that they would trust in Jesus as the Savior, Lord of their lives, and be restored to relationship with you. And for all who have, that we would not keep this good news to ourselves. God, that by the power of your Spirit, send us out, even right now, help us to see our lives with a totally different frame of mind, from a totally different perspective. God, help us to live, to make disciples of all the nations. And I just pray that in the days to come, specifically for the people listening to this podcast right now, that in the days to come, you would lead, guide, direct their steps however you desire among the nations for your glory, for the spread of the gospel, specifically among people who've never heard it, in ways far beyond what we could ask or imagine right now. And I do pray that that would bear fruit in workplaces and Starbucks and neighborhoods represented right now where they live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, bro. I should have said, don't just pray for our listeners. I needed that probably more than a lot of our listeners. So thank you for that, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time today. Sure. We pray a blessing over you, your family, your ministry, all that you're doing, your church. Would God continue to lead you guys and bless all that you're doing, all you put your hands to. And thank you so much for your time, man.
Thanks, bro. Pure joy.
That was so good. Marcus, stop laughing.
What? Did I say anything?
Nothing he said was funny.
No.
No, okay. He did end with...
No, but it's what you were saying before, between the, in that transition.
Yes.
That...
But if we think about it, he ends praying for us. Remember David Platt prays for all the people who are watching and listening.
Are we in the
You're saying
right
remember
now?
Like I'm as having... if it didn't just happen a few seconds ago.
Yeah, so it just happened. So we're coming out of a prayer, right?
Right.
So we shouldn't... I'm just trying to think of like how the episode...
Oh, so we're not rolling right now.
No.
Is what you're
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
no. Praise God. That was a fantastic conversation, man. Mm-hmm. So much wisdom, so much insight. And I just love that perspective of the difference between mission and missions. All of us are called and commissioned to be on mission. And that's just a good reminder. It's not like it's just going overseas. Also, I love the idea that technology could be used for good, thinking of all the Bible translations and how about like when Paul had to write a letter, he has to like send it and wait and hear from them. Whereas now we have a device in our phone where we can send a text and like share a passage of scripture or share a word of encouragement with someone on the other side of the world. And so it's just a reminder, man, if we're on mission and we're focused and we're committed, we could really reach the nations, and it wouldn't take us that long if all of the believers were like, okay, that's it. Yeah. Let's go. Let's suit up and let's do this. That was just very encouraging. I feel like it's just a good reminder that we need to get a perspective shift again and just focus on what's important and evangelize and share the good news all the time, everywhere we go. Yeah, that's just so good.
And yeah, actually, if you liked that episode, he's been on before with Isaac
right.
a while ago. So that's episode 210.
210.
Something needs to change. And he actually, I don't know if the episode was specifically about missions, but he talks about a trip he went on. And like, I mean, he clearly has a very strong heart for missions.
Yeah, it's so cool. You talk with him and you just get so inspired to just go and minister to people.
Yeah,
everywhere you go.
Yeah. And also another good resource would be our World Religions episodes as well.
We did a three-part series last year. We'll leave the link in the description, where we talked about Mormonism, Buddhism, and Catholicism. And then we have one coming out in a few months where we're going to talk about Islam, Sikhism, and a few other different religions. And so I think it's important. We want to try to get Jehovah's Witness, and we want to try to do Hinduism. So we're trying to lock that in right now. But it's important for us to know who is in our communities and how can we build bridges and love people well and be on missions here as well as wherever God takes us around the world. And so great resources. All those will be in the link in the description. We hope you're blessed. We hope you're inspired, encouraged to wherever God places you, whatever you're doing for work or for school, know that you're on mission and that God has you there for a purpose. So find people to love and encourage and point to Christ. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Is this missions at all?
my gosh. Okay.